scripture reading for this morning will be Galatians chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Galatians 6, 16 through 18. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're so thankful for the opportunities we have to be with one another. We're so thankful that you're here. We're so thankful for those that have served this morning in so many different capacities. And certainly as this week, a new week starts, but reflecting on last week, certainly we reflect a moment on our veterans. You know, it's a privilege to know those individuals that have served in so many different capacities, in so many different ways, in so many different branches, but we are so thankful for the men and women who have served our country, and we certainly understand that words can never really give justice to the amount of thanks that they should receive. It's just one of those things. We are incredibly grateful for the sacrifices that have been made to maintain many of our freedoms and liberties here. And we reflect and realize that freedom isn't free, because whenever we think of our veterans, I think of my uncle in particular. Every time I'd have a conversation with him, he'd always remind me of those that paid the ultimate price. And that's one thing that I see consistently when I talk to veterans, is they're always almost pointing to someone else and not themselves. And that's a really incredible thing, how selfless they are in so many respects. But certainly with that on our minds, we know that many of our veterans, when they return home, they bear scars. Sometimes they bear physical scars. Sometimes they bear mental and emotional scars. And certainly some individuals, we understand, will pay the ultimate price and they won't make it home. We certainly realize that freedom isn't free. But you know, when we think about that idea of a soldier and the sacrifices which are part of what they do, the selfless sacrifice that they take on, we think of the physical, emotional scars that many times they acquire. I'd like to focus on the Christian soldier for a few moments this morning. In particular, we're going to focus on the Apostle Paul, which we understand that he was Saul, and he persecuted the church, and he was doing all kinds of terrible things against the church, and then he ends up converting, he becomes a Christian, and then he starts living the Christian life, serving as a Christian soldier. And this is a picture that the Bible gives us on multiple occasions. It takes the Christian and compares them to a soldier. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. The Christian is compared to a soldier. Well, when we think of a soldier, we think of emotional scars that they acquire. We think of physical scars that they acquire. You understand that as a Christian soldier, that there may be some scars that you might acquire as you serve the Christian life. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, "Share in the sufferings as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Share in the sufferings as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You understand, as you live the Christian life, you are going to acquire some emotional scars. You understand that as you live the Christian life, you are going to acquire some physical, possibly physical scars. And we are so thankful and blessed because in the country in which we live, we have had many individuals die for our religious freedom, that for a long, long period of time, and hopefully for years to come, we can avoid many of those physical scars. But when we're talking about the Apostle Paul, we're talking about his life as a soldier. He actually shares on multiple occasions. He says, "As I have lived the Christian life, as I have served, I have acquired emotional and physical scars." And the main point that I want to get across today is that Paul did not let these scars hold him back from serving the Lord. he is going to be scarred and he is going to be hurt again and again and again emotionally. But he's expecting all. He is going to be hurt again and again and again physically, but he is going to keep fighting the good fight. And certainly we, as we reflect on the Apostle Paul, we have to remember that in our own lives. Very interesting what he says in the reading that was just read for us from Brother Rex, and we appreciate that. In Galatians chapter 6 there, he's talking to the church at Galatia, which we're going to, well, the churches of Galatia. But we're going to come back to this passage. But he says, "From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body marks of the Lord Jesus." Now, some people are going to say that this is not necessarily physical marks. I'm going to make the argument that it is physical marks as we go throughout the lesson, but you think about that. He says, "From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body marks of the Lord Jesus." You bear marks as a Christian soldier. Let's talk about some of the marks that you could acquire. We're going to focus on the Apostle Paul. You know that if the Apostle Paul was serving as a Christian, he goes from persecuting the church to becoming a Christian, and he is really on fire. He is zealous, and he wants to really turn things around as best he can. He starts trying to preach and teach, and over the course of time, he acquires many emotional scars. As a Christian, he will accumulate some of these. You know, I think the Apostle Paul accumulated certain emotional scars in relation to being abandoned. There are certain times where Paul was preaching in an area or a place. He would preach there. He would do the best he could. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like everybody abandoned him. It's like nobody had his back. No one was there for him when he really needed them. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, he's actually going to mention a couple individuals by name. He says, "This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are," and I'm not going to try to pronounce their name, but he mentions them by name. He says, "You know that I've been abandoned. I've been preaching, I've been doing the best I can, I've tried to serve God the best of my ability, and you know what? There are people who are turning away from me." This is not the only occasion that this happens to the Apostle Paul. Even this might have hurt him on an emotional level from time to time, as he's trying to serve as best he can, and he has people abandoning him, not backing him up, not helping him out, and he says, "I'm doing everything I can." Emotional scars of being abandoned. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, he mentions Demas. He says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica." Paul was abandoned on many occasions. And perhaps we'll get there here in a moment. But you think about that. When somebody's not standing there by your side, when someone doesn't back you up, when somebody doesn't, that hurts. And what I really want to emphasize is sometimes the Christian soldier is going to acquire emotional scars from our brothers and sisters in Christ. We see that Demas is actually doing a good job for a while, and then what do we see happen? Demas forsakes him. It says Demas loved the present world, and he forsook him. How hard is it, perhaps, for the Apostle Paul, as he's traveling, he's relying on this small, intimate group that he's traveling with, and then all of a sudden, people are just abandoning him. Emotional scars. In fact, if you look in that passage, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, not only does he talk about being forsaken by Demas, he starts to rattle off some other things that have happened to him. And it's interesting when you read there, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, he says, "Demas has forsaken me." A few verses later in verse 14, he tells Timothy to watch out for a gentleman named Alexander, the coppersmith, because he basically says, "I was physically abused by him." He said he is majorly against Christianity, paraphrasing his words. He says, "Demas has forsaken me." He said, "Watch out for Alexander, the coppersmith, and for him to be mentioned by name, for his trade to be mentioned by name." This man was probably very against Christianity for him to write about that in particular. He continues on in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. He said, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear." You don't think that Paul had emotional scars from this? he's trying to do the best he can as a Christian. He's trying to preach, he's trying to get the word out to as many people as possible, and he's got people leaving his close circle, he's got people abandoning him, he's got people, you see, physically lashing out at him, and he says the words in verses 16 and 17, he says, at my first defense, no one stood with me. Talk about emotional scars. And what I want to emphasize is that some of these emotional scars actually came from the brethren. Many of the scars that Paul is going to acquire are going to be from enemies and those that oppose Christ. And we see that in the passage with Alexander. But we also see some of these names and some of these people that are mentioned that should have been by Paul, that should have supported Paul, that should have been there to support him emotionally, support him physically, support him to the best of their ability, and yet when he turned around, they weren't there. Emotional scar. You're going to acquire some of these in your Christian life. Certainly we don't wish that by any means. We don't want you to be harmed in any way, but as you live the Christian life, we are not perfect individuals, and on occasion we'll let each other down. And I have a question for you. How many times was the Apostle Paul let down? And how many times do we see the Apostle Paul quit? He was emotionally scarred. Can we get there that he was abandoned on multiple occasions, that he had people do things to him on multiple occasions? And what did he say? Well, I better throw in the towel. Everybody's abandoned me. I'm not going to be a Christian anymore. I'm going to give it up. No, he had an emotional scar. But he kept pressing on. And certainly we see that throughout his life because we start to see the scars build in his life. Not only do I think that he had scars really in relation to this abandonment. If you go over to Acts chapter 15, we sometimes talk about this occasion, is Paul and Barnabas actually have a, I don't know if you want to say argument, contention, but Paul and Barnabas are there in Acts chapter 15 and they're having a discussion there about an individual. It says, after those days, Paul and Barnabas, they said, let us return and visit the brethren in every city. Now, Barnabas wanted to take John called Mark, but Paul thought it best not to take him with them who had withdrawn from them, basically left them while they were doing some work. And they had a sharp disagreement, so Barnabas is going to go with John Mark, and Paul is going to take Silas. Now, I don't know this for certain. All we can see is the situation. We got Paul and Barnabas says, hey, let's take John Mark. And Paul's like, I don't know if I want to take John Mark. Why? Because he left us one time. Now, I think we could discuss this for a long time. Perhaps Barnabas is showing forgiveness, mercy, understanding. But this really bothered Paul. He says, I'm not going to take him again. I'm not going to take him on another trip. You think that maybe this stemmed from how many times Paul had been abandoned? I don't know for certain, 100% what's going on. Certainly, hopefully, in the Bible class we get to Acts chapter 15, we'll be able to discuss it more. But I think that Paul had emotional scars, and I think that it really hurt him when he was abandoned, when he wasn't backed up, when somebody was supposed to be there, and they weren't there. You were supposed to be there for me. You were supposed to be there, and you weren't there. And I think that hurt Paul deep. On a level where he was emotionally scarred and as he lived his Christian life, these were scars he carried with him. But it didn't stop him from serving the Lord. I think that was something that, as I read the New Testament, I think it was something that... But beyond abandonment, I think that certainly he had emotional scars of rejection. Many certainly, and Paul's family, were not accepting the gospel. In fact, he talks about this in many letters, how he wishes those of his family, those of the house of Israel, would obey the gospel. In Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, he says, brethren, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. I think Paul struggled sometimes when he looked at some of his family that weren't obeying the gospel. And what was his desire? He told you right there in Romans chapter 10, he said, my desire and prayer is that they'll obey the gospel. So you don't think that affected him from time to time? as he reflected on where he came from, as he reflected on his family, as he reflected on individuals, there's emotional scars there. I think he had emotional scars when it came to his family. I think he had emotional scars about being abandoned. I think he had emotional scars on unfulfilled expectations. Which I know this gets into a little bit of a dangerous category perhaps, but we have expectations for individuals, don't we? God has expectations for us. And I think there's occasions where Paul went to a congregation and he saw potential, and then they didn't quite meet the potential. They didn't quite rise to the expectation that Paul thought that they would rise to. Emotional scars of unfulfilled potential. I think this happens with the churches at Galatia, which is a region, and there's multiple cities in that region. But Paul went there, he preached, and he did everything that he could for that region. He did everything that he could in that area. And yet we see that I think that sometimes they didn't meet his expectations. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. It says, "What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eye and given it to me. Therefore have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth." He's talking to the churches of Galatia, and he said, "When I was there, you would do anything for me. You would do anything for me when I was there. You were fantastic. You would have taken out your own eye and given it to me. You would have done that for me, but now, as I'm writing back and reflecting, it's like you don't want to have any part of me. Why? Because I try to tell you the truth? Why? Because I want what's best for you? Why? Because I want you to fulfill your potential?" Really, he's saying the churches of Galatia have went from one extreme to the other. He said, "When I was with you the first time, you would do anything for me, but now you look at me like I'm an enemy. You look at me like you don't care. You look at me like I'm your enemy. Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth?" I teach teachers to teach, which is kind of a weird thing to say. So I'll teach some classes at the college. I teach teachers to teach. And one thing I commonly say is that you can't give everything you can. If you give everything you can to your students, you'll get emotionally attached. Do you think Paul gave these congregations everything he had? When he was at Galatia, he was focused on Galatia. When he was over here at Corinth, he was focused on Corinth. Wherever he traveled, he put his heart, his soul, everything he had into that congregation. And it hurt him when they weren't rising to the potential that he believed they could be. And that's what he's saying to the churches of Galatia. He said, "When I was here the first time, you would do anything for me. You would have given me your own eye. You would pluck it out and give it to me. But now, because I'm telling you that you're not really meeting the expectations of God, now you've got a problem." I think Paul was scarred on emotional levels as he tried to serve God. You understand that you will be scarred on emotional levels. I really think that he did not think the congregation was raising to the point that they should. If you look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, he says, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" What's he saying to Christians of Galatia? He said, "When I was there the first time, you guys were very receptive and very open. But," he said, "as time has went on, now you're rejecting me. You're treating me like I'm an enemy. You're saying that I'm not really an apostle." Which I think leads you to our reading where he says, "I don't want to hear any more because I bear mark of the Lord Jesus." Because the Apostle Paul had skin in the game. Isn't the Apostle Paul saying, "I have done everything that I can. I have given all to you." And when he gave everything that he couldn't help but get emotionally attached. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is hand." You know, you think about that. Paul must have thought that about himself. "I'm already being poured out as a drink offering." He viewed his life as a sacrifice. He viewed his life as trying to give to others to the best of his ability. And when he did that, he was abandoned. Sometimes people did not raise to the expectations of God. Sometimes individuals rejected him, and many times people left him abandoned at the worst time. You think those times wore on Paul? Paul had some emotional scars. And certainly it's hard to talk about some of these topics because you start to realize that a lot of these emotional scars that Paul got were from his own brothers and sisters in Christ. But the point that I want to drive home is that did not stop Paul from serving the Lord. He said, "You abandoned me? I'm not going to serve the Lord anymore. Oh, you're not going to do what God wants you to do? I'm not going to serve the Lord." He didn't let it get to that level. But certainly he was emotionally hurt when these things happened. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia." So Paul's writing. He says, "I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters of Christ, of what happened to me in Asia." He says that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Okay, that's pretty powerful. Paul says, "I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, that we were burdened beyond measure." That means he doesn't think he can handle it. Mm-hmm. "Above strength, so that we despaired even of life." Now, I could be wrong about this, but I think the apostle is writing here to the church at Corinth, and he's saying, "You think I'm some super spiritual? You think I'm invincible? You think I can't be hurt? You think that I'm invincible, that I can't be touched by these things? You see me preaching here and there, and you don't think I'm affected emotionally by these things that are happening?" Let's listen to it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. "I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble that came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, and that we despaired even of life." What does despair mean? Despair means no hope, loss of hope. Now, certainly, we all have ups and downs. And I think that as the Apostle Paul's writing, he's being vulnerable, and he's actually writing that, "You know that I'm not invincible. You know that I've went through some hard times. You know that I've been affected by these things." If you ever find yourself in a situation where you believe you have scarred a brother or sister in Christ, where you try to do the best you can to make it well, doesn't mean that you're going to take away that scar. That scar might exist and be carried on for a long period of time. And I'm not saying that the scar should stop you as an individual from serving, because we look at the Apostle Paul, he was really put through the ringer. I think of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, "Share in the sufferings of the good soldier of Christ Jesus." Sometimes people say, "I'm not going to be a Christian because somebody that's a Christian has done something bad to me." Or, "I'm not going to serve because somebody has done something bad to me." Unfortunately, Paul never got that message. He was hurt again and again and again, people by the outside, people by the inside, and you know what he said? "I'm going to press on, and I'm going to do my duty, and I'm going to do the best I possibly can." The Apostle Paul definitely had some emotional scars. Now, perhaps the harder topic to talk about. You know, the Apostle Paul accumulated some physical scars as well. How fortunate and blessed we are that in our country we are so protected. But we know that many of our brothers and sisters in Christ are not protected in such a way in the countries in which they live. But do you know that as you serve as a Christian that you could accumulate some physical scars? The Apostle Paul certainly did. You know, we think of Acts chapter 9 when he first converted. Ananias comes and he is going to have the first conversation on a human level, really, with Saul going to be Paul. And Ananias doesn't want to go talk to him. He says, "I've heard about this man. I know what he's doing. He's killing Christians. He's dragging families out of their homes. I don't know if I want to go talk to him. Have you heard about this man, God?" And God says, "Yes, I have." And you know what God says? Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. He says, "But the Lord said to me, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.'" You think you can be a Christian and not suffer? The Bible tells us if you desire to live righteously, you will suffer persecution. Now, we hope in this country it doesn't come to the physical, but we know our brothers and sisters in Christ have suffered that on multiple occasions. And oh, how Paul suffered. You know, our reading was in Galatians chapter 6. And he's writing to them in Galatians chapter 6. And really, at the beginning of the book, they are questioning Paul's apostleship. They're saying, you know, Paul, we don't know if he really believed you. And you can see that in Galatians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. They're like, Paul, we don't know if he really believed you. We know that you came here and you preached and we were converted, but we don't know if he really fully. And they start questioning Paul as an individual. And then at the end of the book, what does he say? He says, I bear mark of Christ Jesus. Now, I find this powerful because you know the people that he's talking to? In the territory of Galatia, there's cities Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. Do we know what happens to them in those cities? Yes, we do. In Acts chapter 15, I believe, we actually have a record of what happens to him in this region. Paul's in Galatia. He's preaching to these people for the first time. You know what happens to them? It says, but the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, in chapter 14, Acts chapter 14, verse 19, says, but the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowd, they stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city. So, wait. Paul, the first time he kind of comes through Galatia, he preaches to these towns, Iconium, Lystra. He preaches to these towns, and what happens to him? He gets stoned and dragged out of town and left for dead. So that now, when he's writing back to these individuals, and some of these individuals say, oh, we don't know if you're really an apostle. We don't know if we should really believe you. You know what he says at the end of the book? He says, I bear marks of Jesus Christ. And I don't think he's talking about some spiritual. I think he's talking about physical things that he has on his body. You know, I saw this is about a year ago, maybe 8 months ago, maybe some of you saw it, I don't know. It got very popular on YouTube. I don't know if it was a city council meeting or what, but it was like at the height of the virus, and there was this Asian American, I don't think he would refer to it this way, but he was talking at this meeting about how, and he's a veteran, he was talking about all the heat that kind of Asian populations were taking during the height of COVID. And he was very irritated by this, you could see, and he was very frustrated. I think he kind of did this out of character, but he said, you don't think I'm a patriot? You don't think I have patriotism? And you know what he does in the meeting? He starts taking off his clothes. And he says, I've served 20 years. And he said, look at these marks. He says, what does your patriotism look like? He says, I don't look American to you. And I mean, he kind of went on. But I think that's almost what Paul's trying to do on the Church of Galatia. You really want to go there? You want to say I'm not credible? You want to say that I didn't give you my best? You don't want to say that I didn't do everything I possibly could for you? He says, I bear marks of Jesus Christ. And he's talking about physical marks, physical persecution that he has suffered. And really, when we start to read it, it becomes at a point where our stomach perhaps starts to turn as we start to look at some of the things that the Apostle Paul suffered for Jesus Christ. And we won't have time to read the whole passage, but certainly it's a powerful passage as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is the Apostle Paul talking about some of the things that he has endured. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and following. He says, five times I have received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes, less one. Three times I have been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. That was actually at Galatia, that these people that he's talking to. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people. Dangers from Gentiles, danger in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers from false brethren, and toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, and hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold, exposure. And apart from these things, there is daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to fall, and I am not indignant? If I boast, I boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. And he actually continues on and says a few more things. It's powerful what he's saying. He's talking about all these things that physically he's went through. Now, what I find very powerful, you rattle down through that list, he says he's worried about dangers from his own people. Who's he talking about? He's talking about his family. He's talking about the Jews, I believe. But then he says dangers of false brethren. Paul acquired a lot of battle scars, did he not? He acquired many emotional battle scars. He acquired many physical battle scars that he carried with him throughout his life. And sometimes I wonder if we as Christians understand that we will acquire some of these scars. And we have to respond the same way that the Apostle Paul did. When all these things happened to the Apostle Paul emotionally, he didn't say, I'm going to shut up shop and I'm not going to be a Christian anymore. That's not what he said. When they beat him and they whipped him and he was shipwrecked and he had sleepless nights and also like that other one that it says he has anxiety for all the churches. Now I understand that Jesus Christ helps to lead us away from many of our anxieties, but if you think that all your anxiety is going to go away, unfortunately it looks like it doesn't, because the Apostle Paul says, I have anxiety, I worry about all these congregations that I preach at, I'm worried about my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm worried. I'm concerned. I think about them. But yet we have many times Christians that don't want to have a sleepless night. We have Christians who have shut down because of the scars that they've taken. And I'm not saying the scars aren't there. I wouldn't go to the Apostle Paul and say, Apostle Paul, you don't have any emotional scars. Apostle Paul, you don't have any physical scars. That's not what I would say to the Apostle Paul. I'd say to the Apostle Paul, keep going. And you know what he'd say to me? The exact same thing. Keep going. You're going to take some hits. You're going to take some hits emotionally. You're going to take some hits physically. But you got to keep pressing on and serving the Lord to the best of your ability. Isn't that the message? Do preachers take hits on occasion? Yes, they do. It's just part of being a Christian. Do elders take hits on occasion? Yes, they do. It's just part of being a Christian. Do deacons take hits on occasion? Yes, they do. It's part of being a Christian. The wives of deacons, preachers, and elders, do they take... Yes, we all take hits. We all have scars. And I'm not saying that we should go out and try to compare our scars. And I think Paul even hesitates when he discusses these things. Because he says, I don't really want to talk about these things. He actually talks about fools and things. I don't think he really... But he's trying to drive some points home. We've got to press forward despite some of these things that happen. You know, we talk about individuals losing their life for the cause. And I think that sometimes we might miss the idea that we should have already lost our life for the cause. What are you talking about? Well, when we become Christians. Right? When we become Christians, we're crucified. We say, I'm going to kill that old person, I'm going to become new. That old person's dying, and I'm going to become new. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. A death took place in your life. That old man died, the new one was raised in newness of life. He should have already went through a death. You should have already made a sacrifice. Some of that sacrifice is denying what you want and putting God, what God wants, ahead of your own. Think of Jesus in the garden, Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. He says, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus is in a stressful situation, is he not? He's about to accumulate all kinds of scars. Scars that we can see after the crucifixion because somebody wants to see him, right? He says, I'll show you. I'll show you the scars. You know, the Bible talks about us denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Jesus. You know, as I think about that, I struggle with that personally. God does not speak to us directly as he did in the Old Testament, but he does speak to us through this book. And I do struggle on occasion. You know, sometimes I feel like it would be easier if God says, Kyle, this is exactly what I want you to do. But you know what? He does give me a lot of general ideas to lead me in the right direction, to be better each and every day, to deny myself, to deny my desires on occasion, and to go after him. You know, you look at Moses. He's like, God, I don't know if I'm really your God. And God goes, no, you're my God. You're my God. You know that sometimes you got to look at yourself and say, you're the person that God needs. You're the person that God needs to make the phone call. You're the person that God needs to write the card. You're the person God needs to do a little evangelism. You're the person that God needs to reach out. You're the person that God needs to teach a Bible class. God needs you. And you will have some scars. And we're sorry for that. But it doesn't mean that we don't press on. You know, one of those things that we admire about our veterans is so many times they turn it to someone else. You know, we're so thankful for the people that serve here at Sandyville, and we understand that scars are acquired throughout that process. We're so thankful for every sacrifice you've made, every step that you've made for Christ. But what's interesting is you talk to those veterans, and you start thanking them and showing your appreciation, and a lot of times, more often than not, they'll turn the attention some other direction. And they'll say something to this effect: I was just doing my duty. Did a Christian soldier not say the same? In Luke chapter 17, verse 10 says, "So likewise, when you have done all things that you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do." And so many times, that's what our veterans said. I was just doing my duty. I was just doing my duty. Do we as Christians do our duty? I would like to make the final note that Paul accumulated a lot of emotional and physical scars, sometimes from his brethren, but it didn't hold him back from serving the Lord to the best of his ability. Don't let your scars hold you back. We know they're hard. We're not trying to talk them away. I would not go to the Apostle Paul and say, "Hey, Apostle Paul, I'm not saying that." I wouldn't say that, but I would try to encourage the Apostle Paul to press on. Will you encourage yourself? Will you encourage those around you to press on through the hardships of life? Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian this morning, or perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We would love to help you in any way that we can this morning, if you come as we stand and as we sing.